Hey, Thunderbird family, this is Jason. If you're listening to this, you've no doubt realized that our podcast is on a bit of a hiatus. We're still figuring out really the best way to bring it back and the most effective format to use. But to keep the feed alive, here is a lightly edited version of our recent community office hours session. Most of the questions that we answered here were about Thunderbird for Android, as well as Exchange support, which is coming to both the desktop and mobile versions of Thunderbird. It's a good, varied Q&A, and I think you'll appreciate what's here. So thank you, as always, for using Thunderbird. There's so much exciting stuff coming this year, and there's never been a better time to be on this journey with us. Okay, here's the question and answer session. Take care, and take care of each other, and thank you so much for listening. Talk to you soon.
Welcome, everybody. I see some familiar faces in here from both inside the company and outside. This is the March edition of the Community Office Hours. And so Monica and I and team are going to answer some frequently asked questions that we got at a couple of conferences we were at recently. So we were at FOSDEM in Brussels at the beginning of February, and then most recently Scale. Very different attendees, some overlap in questions and some just common in general for that conference. So I guess one disclaimer is that we talked a lot about K9 and Thunderbird for Android at these two conferences. So that is where most of the questions and answers are. But if you have any questions, feel free to put them in the chat and we will make sure to answer them about Android or desktop or anything Thunderbird. Okay, so the first question, will there be Exchange support for Android or Thunderbird for Android? The answer is yes. And one of our engineers that are working on the Rust implementation of Exchange support for Thunderbird desktop are writing it in such a way using modular and reusable architecting of the Rust libraries for desktop such that we can probably use that in Thunderbird for Android. That's exciting because lots of people need Exchange support. Alex, do you have anything to add to that?
Yes. Other than servicing ourselves, our goal is also to make these Rust crates, which I think is that's the technical term of a Rust library, a crate. Completely open source, available in our GitHub repository, of course, which means that not just desktop or Android can use this, but anyone that needs, I need a Rust crate that works with Microsoft Exchange Office 365, they can use it in their own tools or their own competitor email client if they want to do it. So sharing is caring. That's why we're doing this.
Will Thunderbird add-ons be available on Android? There's a rich history of Thunderbird add-ons available for desktop. And so it makes sense that people would want to leverage their favorite add-ons in the Android app. The answer is not in the immediate future, but there are ways to support them. If we implement Gecko View, then there's a path to getting some of the add-ons to work. But I would guess that that's kind of out of scope right now.
Yeah, currently, just to give a little background, K9 is its own code base written in Kotlin. We don't build on top of Firefox like Firefox does the releases for Android and iOS. It's better for us. It's easier that way to maintain separate code base and have shared libraries, which means that implementing the Gecko View is borderline impossible at this stage. But add-ons are sort of like an implementation agnostic technology. They use like manifest v2, v3. We can implement and support add-ons inside any application. The question is, current Thunderbird desktop add-ons, are they even compatible with the way that mobile behaves from a pure like user interface or user experience point of view, or just like backend technologies? Right now, like all the Thunderbird add-ons are primarily written in JavaScript, which, if I'm not wrong, it doesn't run on K9 at all. So yeah, we definitely want add-ons for mobile, but that's something that it's going to happen much, much later in the future. We don't have a timeline for it, but definitely not in the next year or probably two.
A follow-up question would be, if we don't implement GeckoView, would we maybe consider having our own, having a new like add-on space specifically for Thunderbird for Android?
Yeah, for sure. We are waiting and seeing. As you probably, a lot of you know, Firefox just recently enabled the installation of add-ons on Android. Now you can use them, extensions. So it's a new thing there as well. And we're waiting how it behaves and if they spotted some like crazy downfalls or performance issues or any other potential problems. We're going to learn from what they did and see how we can implement it on our end. But definitely after we have a solid Thunderbird for Android version that is on par with our competition and has all the features that right now we're missing by default.
Yeah, and that's a pretty good segue into the next question. When Thunderbird for Android is ready to be released, what is the upgrade path going to be?
Yes, so this is going to be a long-winded answer. I'll try to be short. So we are going to keep K9 and Thunderbird for Android released in parallel. The code base is the same. With Material 3, we can easily do a theme, a brand switch between the two and release two completely separate apps. This was done for many reasons. One reason is we have a somewhat substantial K9 user base that they express their desire to keep K9. They like the brand. They don't care about Thunderbird at all. So we want to keep supporting that. The other more technical reason is that Google doesn't like when you have an app ID that says something and then you suddenly switch an app from one thing to another. So we couldn't do it. And rather than saying at one point, okay, we're going to stop supporting K9, now you're forced to switch Thunderbird for Android, we can very easily, there's no engineering overhead, we can very easily release the same updates, same security updates, same new features on both apps at the same time. And we're going to keep it this way for maybe a year or two. As I said, there's no engineering overhead, so it's very easy for us to keep supporting the same, like two different apps at the same time because there's the same code base. Once the maturity level of Thunderbird for Android and K9 is at a point that we're extremely satisfied and we're confident that we see users naturally transitioning towards Thunderbird for Android and seeing the user's adoption growing one point in one side and diminishing another side, we will prompt K9 users to migrate to Thunderbird for Android. And we can do it in two ways. First of all, the initial step is what we're doing right now already is implementing Mozilla accounts and Mozilla Sync, which means that if you log in with your sync account in K9, you sync all your things, then you open Thunderbird for Android, you log in with your sync account, automatically all your sync data will be reinstalled. So all your accounts, your tags, your settings, all the things that we will support will be there. So the migration path is very frictionless. You don't need any extra tool or any extra things. Another thing that we want to explore is one-tap migrate from K9 to Thunderbird for Android. That really depends on the limitations of the platform, Android. For security reason, one application cannot access the profile of another application. They're containerized and separate. So that's a technical limitation. But hopefully with Mozilla account, we will be able to overcome any of those limitations, and we can offer just a pop-up in K9 that says, hey, Thunderbird for Android will be the future. Please transition there. Just tap if you have installed. We automatically log in into your Mozilla account. We ask for the password, of course, because we don't know your password. And all your data will be there. So we definitely are trying to find the most frictionless workflow ever to allow you to just transition without losing anything and not even realizing that you switched app other than just a brand change, basically.
So are the monthly developer updates, so where would the best place for people to go if they wanted kind of continual updates on this transition process?
Yeah, definitely in our blog, blog.thunderbird.net. Once a month, we release K9 updates. Keddy, the previous sole maintainer of K9, is doing these monthly updates. If you're interested in seeing progress and testing new features early as faster, you can, if you're on F-Droid, you can install the beta. You can download the APK, install the beta. If you're on Google Play, you can access the Google Play Store and join the beta channel. We're experimenting and trying to create a alpha channel, a sort of like daily release. But before we do that, we need to improve a little bit our release process. Right now it's very manual. We want to automate it a little bit more with CI/CD and all this good stuff. But yeah, definitely use the beta. It's very stable for being beta, yeah. And you will get exposed to super cool new features earlier than regular users.
The next question, I did hear at both Fostum and Scale, probably more at Fostum, but will CalDAV and CardDAV be available on Thunderbird for Android? The short answer is probably yes, but the tricky part is deciding how to handle them because, again, Android limitations. All Android phones have a calendar and contacts app already. So should we use those to integrate them in K9 or do we do our own thing? I think that there's a TBD there. We still need to wait and see. Yeah. Anything to add to that, Alex? No? To be fair, those are Alex's words from asking him while I was at Scale.
That's good. No, it's interesting to have this kind of questions because as developers, but also as users, we kind of assume, okay, you have a phone by default. Everything comes with a calendar and an address book. So why do you want to go through your email application to connect calendars and address book if those, they come by default, especially if you're on vanilla Android, Google, everything is connected to your Gmail. You got your calendar and you got your contacts all downloaded there. And it's very easy to add extra accounts, extra calendar accounts, or extra CardDAV address book or LDAP address book. So we always focus on the email part. But a lot of users express the desire of, I want to have my workflow, everything inside a single app. We currently in K9, we already connect to your Google address book. When you're composing an email, we ask permission to access your contacts so you can get like autocomplete of your contacts. But some users, they want that completely separate. They want their K9 app with their K9 address book, which is, it's interesting, but it opens up like, yeah, the question of, does it make sense for us to build an entire address book inside K9, or there's a way to leverage the native address book or contacts of Android? And yeah, so open question, open exploration. As soon as we have a direction, or even if we have some doubts, we'll release all these explorations and ideas on our blog post, and you can participate and give us suggestions. If you have expertise in these, it would be great.
Jason, you have a question or
go? Yeah, As I was listening to Alex explain that, I'm curious if there are privacy advantages to having your contacts and your appointments and things outside of Google, like within a Thunderbird ecosystem.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
We know for a fact, as soon as you connect something to Google, it just like ingurgitates everything. It grabs it and stores it into their servers. So if you have your...
That's what's driving some of those requests, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like if users, especially like if you have a Fastmail account and you have a Fastmail calendar and Fastmail address book, you don't necessarily want to connect those to your Google calendar or your Android calendar, Android Contacts app, because that gives Google access to those that data. And you want to have everything inside your K9 app. So it's an absolutely legit question. It adds a lot of engineering effort for us. So we need to be careful of what is the best way to do it. We don't want to offer a subpar experience. So we need to do it right.
Will the K9 API provide the ability to download the save preferences that sync will be storing locally to be able to plug into automation like Ansible. Okay, I'm going to try and do this answer justice. Preferences can already be exported. The sync store is going to be open source, and what's going to be synced can be easily checked. And needs can be needs. We're not going to put any artificial restrictions on this. The only restriction is that stored data on the server will be encrypted. So without passing through the user authentication token, no one can see what that data is.
I got this question at the end of the Thunderbird for Android talk at scale. And the user was asking mostly about, you know, in sync, what if I don't want to export all of my preferences? Like, it sounds great to have Mozilla Sync, you know, export all your preferences and save data and stuff to the Mozilla server. But this person was like, well, I just want to do it locally so that I can plug it into that automation. So that was just a little bit of the context around what this user wanted. And others in the audience were like, oh, yeah, I really want that.
Yeah, absolutely. So to give some overview on the development side of things of how we're... The first problem that we are facing is that K9 has been developed for 10 plus years, completely separate from Thunderbird. So their way of storing settings or saving settings is completely agnostic to the way that Thunderbird does. Is Thunderbird use the same profile mechanism of Firefox? So syncing things between Thunderbird profiles and Thunderbird installations, and like the profile folder is a public folder in your system. I personally have my public folder on my local NAS, on my local server, and I connect to it from all my computers. So that profile is always backed up to the cloud, my personal Backblaze instance. Creating Ansible automations, exporting the data that you want from the desktop is like a no-brainer. You can already do it. We have a built-in export settings there. But yeah, that folder is easily accessible and you can hook up all the things that you want. Already, as we are implementing Mozilla account and sync between desktop and mobile, we're facing the problem of, okay, what are we able to sync? And how the data needs to be structured in order for us to be digestible for both desktop and mobile, because the way that they handle settings is completely different. And that's going to take us a while. But we want to put those two in sync. Like the same type of profile should, or the same type of data should work in both desktop and mobile. It doesn't matter how the profile is structured. Once we have an answer to that, we're going to release all our findings in technical documentation, support documentation. And once we have something stable that we release on a beta, we definitely going to start writing support articles on How can you export your profile? How can you hook up your own sync server? How can you automate all this? But yeah, all the sync server code is fully open source. So you can, yeah, hook it up to any automation tools that you want and tweak it and sync the data that you want.
That's awesome. Because I've had a bunch of people ask if they can host Thunderbird Sync or if they can use companies like Nextcloud, for example, to host 100%. It there instead. So that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. We're facing the same challenge, which is funny, not to throw a curveball to the Firefox developers, which are awesome and we love them so much. But the sync server, it wasn't really structured from the beginning to be easily adoptable by other software, other application. So it in order to set it up for yourself, for your own app on your own server, it's very convoluted. It's not easy. And what we're doing and collaborating closely with them, and they've been incredibly helpful to allow us to do it, is we are changing and we're upstreaming our changes to the sync server in order to allow us to more easily use it for Thunderbird and consequentially for all the other applications that will be able to use our same approach and our same methodology to use and set up their sync server on their own. But yeah, we're facing some challenges because the way that we want to use it, it wasn't really thought properly when the initial sync server was set up. So there are some architectural changes that need to happen.
Well, thank you. That was a long but extremely helpful answer, and we will get back to it. But yeah, we'll switch over to Thunderbird for desktop.
One question we heard a lot was, when are we going to have native Exchange support in Thunderbird for desktop? And the exciting answer is this will be available in the next ESR. 128.0 is the next ESR, and it is listed to be released on July 9th. So summertime, yay! And then people won't need to use the paid add-on to get that functionality.
And they won't need to use Outlook.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's how I found out about Thunderbird 15 years ago. I joined a company and they said, here's your Outlook. And I was like, I don't want to. give me something that works on Linux. And then I found Thunderbird and never left.
Most likely, what we're currently supporting is going to be just email for ESR. We don't know if calendar and address book will be supported by default. They can already be supported with an add-on, so you can use the default implementation, the default Thunderbird to use your emails, and then the add-on to continue using calendars and address book. We definitely want to support everything coming from Microsoft, but code complexity, Microsoft changing things under our feet. Just last week, Microsoft decided to disable normal authentication for all the Hotmail accounts, and they force us to use OAuth, their version of OAuth, not standard OAuth, which is obviously not documented. So a lot of reverse engineering there. A lot of challenges, but the first thing that we want to support is email, complete email support, solid and stable and good by default. So if for whatever holy intervention we're able to do it quickly and finish it before ESR, we'll definitely switch to address book and then calendar to support those by default.
So this one is on the conversations and threaded view. When will this be added to the email client?
We hate these two. I don't know. This is going to turn into another like massive technical deep into all these terrible things that we have. So we are working towards it. This is our top priority. It's been our top priority for the past 4 years, I would say. The problem is our database. So 20 years ago, when Thunderbird was created, the idea of a database was a very cloudy idea. So people at the time, not to bash them because it was the technology at the time was just POP and you had folders. So the idea was like every message belongs to a single folder and that's it, right? You don't have messages in multiple folders. So our database is literally a collection of messages inside a folder. Each message has an ID that is attached to a folder, and we internally like to jokingly call it the non-unique unique IDs, which is terrible for basic architecture. Then IMAP came along, and then now the standard, and everybody expect that if I send a reply, that reply should be in the same stack of conversation of my received messages. And if there are, it doesn't matter if I look that thread from the inbox or the sent or the archived folder, I need to see the full thread of my received and sent emails. We cannot do it because every time you send a message, the message goes into the sent folder and the sent folder assigns that unique ID to the message, then now the message belongs to the sent folder. So we cannot easily grab all the... There's not a unique identifier for a thread conversation. We can grab it from the server, but we don't really do it. Thunderbird never did it. And even if we grab it, our code of how we handle cached messages and our internal database doesn't support that. There was an add-on called Conversation View or Thunderbird Conversation that used to work before. The maintainer of that add-on decided to not maintain it anymore. Since then, we decided to, okay, we need to implement it. We could have done it the way that the add-on was doing it by using Glowda. Glowda is our internal search indexing thing. The problem is that it's extremely slow and not performant at all. And so we said, rather than trying to hack it and make it work, why don't we actually implement a database that it can be called a database and makes sense? So when we get a message from the server, the ID of the message is what the server tells us, and it doesn't matter in which folder the message is, we can always reference the thread from the parent ID and having a proper conversation view. Now you might all assume, like you might all guess how easy it is to restructure a 20 years old database, and making sure that we migrate all your local emails into the new database without burning everything to the ground. So it's happening. We hope, should I say this? We hope to have the new global message database done before next ESR, before ESR 128. Our end date to make sure that we can do it is May 31st. If after May 31st, we have the global message database, nothing exploded, and we're all good, doing conversation view in the front end, it's very easy. Because with all the rebuild that we did on the message list, we removed the Zool tree, we have an HTML, CSS and JavaScript message list. We can already do it if the data from the messages allow us to list all the messages. So yeah, database work, rebuilding 20 years old architecture with 20 years old wrong assumptions of we only have POP. We don't have any other protocol. So this will work forever. All these beautiful things is absolutely terrible, but we're doing it. And it will happen.
That's a really great answer about technical debt, trying to, you know, solutions that obviously worked at the time and have held up until now, but trying to build better and more solidly for the future. So whatever comes after OAuth, we'll be able to adapt to that. So that was really great. That's going to make a great video, Jason.
Indeed. And that's, yeah, that's something that that it's been tricky to help people understand, is all the back end work that's happening, where, you know, it doesn't instantly manifest in like a visual improvement with a new ESR sometimes, or a new beta release or whatever. But there's so much that the team is doing behind the scenes to, you know, to fix all that technical debt from the last 20 years. And once they get over that big hurdle, it's going to make it so much easier for us to more rapidly introduce new features and improvements. So thank you. It's a lot of work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have one more question. Yeah. No, two more.
Yeah.
Two more. Okay.
Yeah. We have two more questions. And the next question is about adding a full sender name column. So apparently there was a popular add-on that stopped working with 1.15. And this add-on added a column with the full raw email address of the sender instead of just the provided name. That is beneficial because it helps you more easily identify what might be spam or phishing. There's a patch with updates that has had quite a history of activity there to enable this feature. And so I guess the question is, when will this be accepted, or what are the next steps to get that there?
It's already available in daily and beta. When it landed, just let me check super quickly so I can tell you. It landed on March 18.
Yeah, that was like last week.
Was last week, so current beta should have it. Otherwise, next beta will be available. It's available already on daily. John, our add-ons developer, primary maintainer, created these, updated the extension API to support that. So it will 100% be available in next ESR.
We're going to have some really happy people. Someone asked us that at scale, and he's like, I've got a really tricky question. And it was this, and I've been fielding this on social so much. I'm like, I've got an answer for you. Check the Fabricator link. You can follow the progress. And he's like, that made my day so much better. So I think you all have made a lot of people happy, and it'll be great to let people know, hey, test the beta and see how this works. Last question is, will there ever be a browser-based view of Thunderbird?
Oof.
Tricky.
Easy question. Come on.
Webmail. We don't know. Who knows? Maybe in the future. It's not in our plans for now. It's not in our roadmap. So far, the advantage of having like a native email client is very easy to use, multiple email accounts, and being overload agnostic and all these beautiful things, and performance in general. Like, having multiple emails, multiple calendars, multiple address book in a website, that comes with a lot of performance drawbacks that, yeah, they need to be considered a lot. But yeah, maybe if it becomes a highly requested feature, it's something that we can consider. The problem, we cannot use Thunderbird code to run in a browser. We will need to build something from scratch, which adds a lot of resources to it. So
it seems like it might be like, Thunderbird is built on a browser, so
Well, yes, like... yes. Technically, yes. It's built on top of Firefox, but Thunderbird uses a lot of all the email protocols are written in C++ and Rust. There are a lot of low-level languages that are needed to guarantee that the speed and performance things. And also the HTML, C++, and JavaScript that runs on top of Firefox, they run actually in a Azul browser, in a Azul window, that is not just an HTML, a standard HTML window. So, yes. Maybe gotcha. We could reuse the CSS, but everything else needs to be rebuilt.
Thank you so much, Alex, for coming to answer all of our hard questions and provide extra details there. I think that they paint the picture well of some exciting things to look forward to in the next ESR and a general idea of kind of where we're going.